This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report, and it's the 14th of March 2009 here in Japan. Joining me on the line from British Columbia is Wayne Pronte, a 48-year-old activist who has been involved in Vancouver 9/11 Truth, but also is currently a member of Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth. He also lived in Europe for nearly 10 years and is fluent in German. He holds an associate's degree in criminology and a certificate in criminal justice and law enforcement, and has worked within the criminal justice system in Canada, as well in private security and investigations. He has also worked in group homes with troubled teens, in sales and marketing, as a construction laborer, and in the boat building industry. He's a webmaster and blogger, and presently works independently installing Linux operating systems. And he was a candidate in the Canadian Action Party's leadership elections earlier in 2008. Wayne Pronte, thank you very much for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
Well, thank you for having me, James. I much appreciate it. Just one little correction there. It was in, I believe, 2005-2006 election that I was with the Canadian Action Party.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it was the one in which Connie Fogel came to power as the leader.
Right.
I see. Okay. All right, well, it's good to talk to you today. First, I wanted to start by talking about your latest campaign at warcriminals.com. I'm sorry, you'll have
warcriminalsout.com, yeah.
warcriminalsout.com, and also the latest campaign, Operation Vigilant Citizen. Tell us a little bit about this campaign and what it is you're seeking to accomplish.
Sure. Well, I was only brought to my attention in late February that the former President George W. Bush would be visiting Canada to give a speech to a private audience in Calgary, Alberta, and was asked by a number of people, including Professor Anthony J. Hall of University of Lethbridge, Splitting the Sky, John Bunker, who he recently had on, and a few others to begin to try and organize a campaign to prevent this visit, if at all possible, as well as to put some pressure on our government to abide by its own laws regarding war criminals and war crimes. So they approached me, and I came up with a few ideas that they liked, and I said, well, we're going to have to get busy on this. So within a matter of days, I had a website up, and the basics were there since, I guess, last Friday, a week ago. And then on the 11th, that was my target date for having the site basically completed and our plan of action online and ready for people to go. And we decided we were going to call that Operation Vigilant Citizen. So that was deployed on 3/11/09. And what we have there is basically... I think it's 10 charges that we can basically reasonably agree upon that George W. Bush can be accused of having committed during his tenure as President of the United States of America, as well as 10 steps of action that Canadian citizens, we are hoping Canadian citizens will join in to take some action independently and help to prevent Bush from being allowed in Canada or to have him charged as a war criminal upon arrival. So we've tried to make it as easy as possible. Time has been quite limited. Obviously, we got this on short notice. It wasn't widely publicized in the media that he was coming. And so we've tried to create it in such a way that it's basically a drive-through that people can basically grab some information, get some email addresses, as well as download a petition, collect signatures and stuff like that, and just take it upon themselves to get active and get busy with it. And so far it's been going pretty good. As I say, we launched that page and sent out information about it on the 11th, and on that day alone, we got close to 600 hits on the website just on that page. So it is getting out there. It is people are finding out about it, and most people that we have talked to, I'm quite active as well on the street with my 9/11 group. And most people we talk to are just absolutely repulsed by the fact that George W. Bush is being allowed into Canada, and they're just appalled at it, appalled by it, and want something to be done. So we're happy to be kind of filling a void here, and doing what we can as we see as our, you know, our civic duty and our personal responsibility.
Well, taking a look at Operation Vigilant Citizen on warcriminalsout.com, it does go into quite a bit of detail about the charges that are laid against George W. Bush, or that he could be indicted with. It also goes into a lot of detail about what people can do, and gives a lot of background information and who people can contact. What types of sources did you use, or legal counsel did you rely on when drafting up these charges?
Yeah, well, there is an organization in Vancouver called Lawyers Against the War, or LAW for short, and based a lot of our of the information we posted on that, on the information that they provided to us, which they have also made public and have sent to Prime Minister Harper and other members of the government. We've also got one page up there specifically just dealing on mainstream reports about the allegations against George W. Bush from many, many, many different sources. In fact, it's just numerous pages of links that you can click on and see what is happening around the world. And we note that I think there was something like 58 congressmen alone in the United States who were seeking to have George Bush indicted. So there has been extensive research done already. We didn't feel it necessary for ourselves to take on that responsibility, as it's I think it's pretty much well known. However, as I mentioned, we're also working with a member of our group, Professor Anthony J. Hall, who has also published a paper which he delivered at the University of Winnipeg a week ago. And that was called Bush League Justice, Should George W. Bush Be Arrested in Calgary, Alberta to Be Tried for International War Crimes? And he also documents many of these things, too. So it's there if people want to look for it.
So then, is the point of Operation Vigilant Citizen to bar Bush from entering Canada or to actually have him arrested on these charges?
Well, I personally would like to see him brought before court and tried. However, I mean, we have to realize that too, you know, governments do things in the most expedient way for themselves and would probably want to take the most easiest route, which would bar him if they're going to take any action at all. That would be fine by me as well. I do not want that man in my country. I think it really denigrates the reputation of Canada to have him here. So yeah, we're promoting that first. You know, first and foremost, that's the minimum that should happen, is that he should not be allowed entry. But you know, if he is allowed entry, then we feel that our federal government as well as provincial governments should be taking action to arrest and charge him and to prosecute.
All right. Well, taking a look at some of the specifics from Operation Vigilant Citizen, for example, there's information about laying information that is going to Justices of the Peace and getting these allegations notarized in an official legal sense. And under that provision on the website, there's also some information about the statutes of limitations on certain offenses and statutes under the, for example, the Ontario Provincial Offenses Act, under which one could lay some of these allegations against Mr. Bush. And under that, it notes that Bush was immune to such allegations and such court proceedings prior to January 20th, 2009. Obviously, while he was sitting President of the United States, he was immune to such prosecution. So just to clarify then, the six-month statute of limitations on certain of these statutes would not apply, and anything within that eight-year period would conceivably be fair game for these allegations.
Absolutely. There's absolutely no statute of limitations upon war crimes, international war crimes. And we're basing this upon, this is coming from the Criminal Code of Canada, It is permissible under Canadian law for private citizens to launch private prosecutions, and one does that by doing what is called, formally called, laying in information. And you do that at your local provincial courthouse and swear in information before a justice of the peace. So it would be good to read up on the statutes that you want to apply before doing that. There's a form there that you'll have to fill out with your specific allegations, as well as you'd want to detail a few of the things that the specific incidences, such as torture and whatnot. And so we would advise people to take a look at we've got a PDF document there of the information that was filed a number of years ago by Lawyers Against the War and some of the allegations that they made, and you can reference that if you wanted to try and lay in information yourself. Yeah, and as I understand it from my sources, the Justice of the Peace cannot prohibit you from doing that. That he basically, he or she would have to take your information. Whether or not a summons is issued, we don't know. I would imagine that there's going to be political pressure from on high and trickling down to even the lowest levels of our justice system. But we, have to hope at this point in time that we still have people within government and within the justice system who take their duty seriously and take people seriously and will want to do something about it. I believe they have the option of issuing a warrant, but they certainly could issue a summons, and which could then be served upon Bush when he arrives. It could also be sent to him by mail or possibly to the American consulate. So there are a number of things we could do. And one of the points of doing that as well is that even if this was not successful, if the Justice of the Peace for some reason should refuse to hear it, we're asking that when people attempt to do this, that they also contact the local media and have them present to document this. I think that most small newspapers would find this interesting. So that would be a way to help get the awareness out there that has been lacking, unfortunately, till just recently in the major mainstream media.
Well, moving forward from this point then, between now and his speech on March 17th, what needs to be done in that interim period?
It's a really critical time. We've been pressed for time from the get-go with this. So what needs to happen is that people can go on to our website, and there's a petition online that they can sign. We will be collecting those signatures, and we'll be sending them to Prime Minister Harper on Monday. They can also download a copy of that petition and take it into their own neighborhood to knock on doors, go on a street corner, talk to people on the street, have a small sign, something about Bush, and get people to add their signatures to the petition. And when you have collected those signatures, we're asking you to, number one, take those to your local member of parliament for your area, and also make a copy of it and also fax it to Mr. Harper's office.
Has there been any response so far from any MPs or anyone sitting in government right now?
No, unfortunately, that's one of the biggest problems, is that with the group Lawyers Against the War. Now, they have been really taking a leading role in this for quite some time, starting back in 2004, when Bush visited Vancouver as the President of the United States. They tried at that time to have him charged and did lay in information before Justice of the Peace and so on. And nothing became of that because I think the Attorney General decided that, Mr. Bush has diplomatic immunity at that time. So they have tried again now, and they have written to Prime Minister Harper, as well as all of the opposition leaders, with their information, documenting it all. And it's been a resounding silence from them, from all of the sitting parties in Parliament now. So the only response that they got at all was from the New Democratic Party. It did not even come from the leader of that party. It just came from somebody in the office saying that Mr. Layton is not interested in this issue. So there's been a resounding silence, and we contend that, you know, that was just basically the the first attempt to have something done. That's we have called upon our government to do something, and to which they are legally obligated to do according to their own statutes, their own policy statements. They are required to act. My contention, our contention, is that the government is basically now engaged in civil disobedience against the will of the people, and enforcing laws selectively, while letting other people get away with basically with murder. And our position is that if the government is not going to abide by the law, is not going to abide by their own stated positions, and that would include, you know, the RCMP and other agents of government, that, you know, is going to be incumbent upon us to take legal action against them, and to charge them for their from those various things that we've outlined, but basically a dereliction of duty, and take it on that way, because something has to be done to hold these people accountable. And then, we've petitioned them, and if they're not going to listen to that, and not listening to leading authorities and academics on this topic, then we have a serious problem here in the nation of Canada. And we the people basically have to do something to try and restore our democracy and our constitution.
Tell us a little more about some of the other people and groups that are involved in this effort.
Well, sure. It's very diverse at this point in time. I think there are quite a number of peace groups out there that that know of this and are trying to do something on their own. Our group is somewhat different in our approach to it, in that we want to take this a step further from what the Lawyers Against the War have been advocating so far. We see this as basically step two, and step three would be, as I say, trying to take these people to hold these people to account legally. So, but there are other groups out there, including in Calgary. Now, I'm not really up on what's going on the ground in Calgary. I understand, however, that there is a lot of activity there. We have on our website just a few things posted. Just taking a look at it here. There's a schedule of events that you can look at, and that is put up by peoplevbush.ca. And I think they also have some links to some other groups. So, like I say, I'm not. This has all been on very, very short notice. So, I'm working with, as I say, Splitting the Sky, also known as John Bancor, and Professor Tony Hall, various 9/11 Truth groups. Montreal 9/11 Truth, and. I can't remember the other ones just off the top of my head, but several of them have now signed on. We're still waiting for it to hear back from a few others. Now, the one thing that we add to our call for justice is that would like him to be charged as well with negligence involving the deaths of 24 Canadians who died on September 11, 2001 in those attacks, and charged that he did not take appropriate action, as well as his duty, knowing or having foreknowledge. I think there's quite a bit of available information about that, that there was, you know, it's quite well documented that there was foreknowledge that attacks were coming. And he did nothing to prevent that, nor did he do anything to prevent it on his day or to take appropriate action when he knew that the Twin Towers had been attacked in New York City. So we want to include that. Many other peace groups do not. Okay, they think that you know, this 9/11 stuff is just conspiracy theories or whatever, and it takes away from the importance of the issue of the war that was launched against Iraq on false pretenses and so forth and so forth. Now, we're taking a minimalist approach on this with regard to 9/11 at this point, to make sure that it is acknowledged that we do consider him and his behavior suspect on that day. We don't contend George W. Bush carried out 9/11, but that there was some complicity at some level there, and we think it needs to be addressed. So that kind of separates us a bit from the other groups that are out there. But as I say, we're taking a minimalist approach there that I think most people will reasonably agree upon. There are a lot of questions about 9/11 that were never answered correctly or appropriately. And this needs to be addressed as well. And as I said, 24 Canadians died that day. We've had, I think it's now up to 115 Canadian soldiers have been killed basically an illegal war in Afghanistan that ties back to the September 11th attack. So we do think that the American government, as well as our own government, owe people some answers with regard to September 11th and what really happened that day. And we have all, you know, taken the time to investigate that ourselves and find that the official explanations given are a total farce and do not adequately explain what happened.
Now, Wayne Pronti, as I know you're aware, the police have been caught all around the world over and over again staging and provocateuring violence and riots in certain situations in which they wish to instigate police action. One of the most famous incidents in Canada coming in the 2007 Montebello SPP protests, where police were caught dressing as protesters and attempting to incite violence. Now, obviously, there's always the possibility that this type of action could be infiltrated by provocateurs or even lone agents who want to take violence and justice into their own hands. Could you state for the record your intention to keep this all a legal process without vigilante justice?
Absolutely. There's no vigilante justice being called for here. We're just doing our civic and legal duty and asking that the government live up to theirs. And we are talking about civil and peaceful protest action here. We are not advocating violence or the overthrow of the Canadian government or any such thing.
Okay, excellent. Well, Let's move on then. Let's talk a little bit more about sort of your background and some of the other things that you've been involved in terms of your organizing for Vancouver 9/11 Truth and Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth. For those listeners who haven't encountered your work before, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, you did cover some of that at the very start here, so I just turned 49, so I have been active on the 9/11 Truth Front for a number of years now, from the time that it first happened. I had questions about it and just was not buying what I was being told in the mainstream media, and I took, you know, did months of research on it and found other people asking many of the questions that I had, and discovered a huge body of research that is out there showing why the events that we were sold, basically, could not and did not happen the way that they say, and with a lot of contrary evidence. Now, I did not immediately, you know, get busy in public with this. It took me quite some time. I became active on the internet, on various internet forums, on some chat rooms, and I did make quite a few contacts around North America, and as well, I mean, I talked to my immediate family about it, and friends and so on, and tried to convince them to look at some of the information, and that was a long, tedious process, very frustrating at times. And then I guess up to about 2004, 2005, I was watching for anything to be happening, anybody to start taking action here in Canada. There was a conference that was held in Toronto in 2004, and I thought, great, okay, maybe, you know, something will start happening here now. It was just a wonderful conference that was put on. I saw many of the videos that were posted online, but basically it fizzled out thereafter, and I kept looking, Googling for, you know, Montreal 9/11 truth, Toronto 9/11 truth, Calgary, Vancouver, whatever, and finding nothing. And so basically I came down to, I thought, well, I'm going to have to do something. And right around that time, I heard on the radio here locally that a fellow by the name of Barry Swicker, who's been huge in the 9/11 Truth Movement, was going to be speaking in Vancouver. So I said, well, I'm going to that no matter what. And he was speaking at a church in Vancouver, and it was huge. It was about 800 or 900 people there, and it was just amazing. I was just it was just a thrill to be around so many people all of a sudden who had questions about 9/11. And in the process of doing that, I met the person who had organized that on her own, with the help of, you know, a couple of her friends. And I said, well, you know, we've got to get together. She said, well, we've been trying to do something, but it's not really getting anywhere. She says, you know, get on board with us. And I did, and ended up taking a lead role there, getting things organized and setting an agenda and figuring out what we could do locally and getting things moving. And within a few short months, we had put on a couple of screenings of some documentaries at a cinema downtown Vancouver. We then did a bit of leapfrogging thereafter, and we went from there to bringing in Professor David Ray Griffin, who's quite well known within the 9/11 Truth Movement. Again, at the same location, and once again, we had, you know, probably 800 to 1,000 people there. And then a few months thereafter was the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference, of which I was the main organizer. And I spent, oh gosh, I must have spent a year, probably put a year's worth of work into about 6 months in organizing that. And it was a huge success. My intention was that although there wasn't really an organized movement at that point in time, Vancouver was pretty much the first group out there in Canada that had an organization with a website. And part of the reason for putting on this conference was that we were also focusing on why 9/11 truth was important to Canadians. And so we wanted to do something that was going to maybe galvanize a movement here in Canada, and that's exactly what happened. And also during that time, I had made contacts over the years in various cities, and I had asked them to, you know, finally step up to the plate, put up a website, put up some sort of a web presence anywhere, and just declare yourself on board with this. And I said, you know, the people will come, and they did. And that was 2 years ago now, summer of 2007. And the movement has gone from basically one group to 22 groups across Canada now, various sizes and various degrees of involvement. But it's coming along, and I'm happy to say that it's pretty much the fastest moving movement within Canada. So it's been quite successful. It's been quite personally rewarding, and And I'm just proud of so many people out there who are willing to put it on the line and say, yeah, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to do something. And that's been typical now of so many people within this movement. When called upon, they will take appropriate action. And so, you know, many of the people that you see now getting involved with this new group, which we call the Coalition of the Willing, which of course is a take on George Bush's coalition that he put together to attack Iraq, and of course Operation Vigilant Citizen is kind of a play on one of the war game scenarios that was happening on September 11th, Operation Vigilant Guardian. So we're trying to use some of their own tactics and psychological things against them. But as I say, a lot of these groups are now getting on board with this effort too. We're seeing some of the Weird Change groups getting involved with it, and I think you know, Bush is kind of a not a very popular character to begin with, so it's not that difficult. But I think the 9/11 Truth groups and individuals that are involved with that, I think they understand to a larger degree than anybody else. They've done a lot of research and know many of the things that have gone on, so they're quite passionate about this. And it's coming along, it's moving along. And, you know, as I say, we're not going to put all our hopes on Prime Minister Harper now suddenly deciding to do the right thing here, but we're going to do our best, you know, with what's within our power. And if he doesn't, then, you know, we will have to pursue other legal options against members of the government for dereliction of their duties.
Well, Wayne Pronte, given your background and your work with Vancouver 9/11 Truth, including, of course, the historic 2007 Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference, which I've played excerpts from on the podcast before and continue to encourage my listeners to check out, and now your work with Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth and the Coalition of the Willing and WarCriminalsOut.com, it seems that you have been one of the most successful 9/11 Truth activists in Canada. And I'm wondering, what do you think contributes to that success? What differentiates what you're doing?
I think the approach that I take is that I tried to keep things as simple as possible. I think that most people that are involved in this are activists also on other fronts. We see a lot of people, you know, trying to mix the issues to a great deal. We understand that once you start looking at 9/11, or once you start looking at things like what's going on with vaccines, or if you start looking at what's really happening with the economy and the phony money system that's out there, it doesn't really matter where you start. You end up discovering this thing called the New World Order, and this vast web of things that are tied together and that are, you know, it's quite an evil agenda. So my approach, however, is with 9/11 is that, you know, we stick to that, keep it as simple as possible, try to minimize infighting, arguing over theories. And there's lots of different theories that are out there, but at least as far as public is concerned, that we just have a very, very simple message, and that is that there are many, many unanswered questions about 9/11 that need to be answered, and that people deserve to know about, and that we all deserve to see justice done for those things. So by taking that approach, I think it kind of... we can attract far more people into the movement, and as well as get along with each other a whole lot better, but just by keeping it that simple, and just asking people to take a look at the information rather than yelling and screaming and ranting and raving and protesting about it. My own activism, I'm very service oriented. I try not to take the typical protest approach to things. We just try to be out there, be very present, be very friendly with people, and ask them to, you know, or just actually let them come to us and get our material if they're interested. And we're finding, you know, that taking that approach is far more palatable to people that are out there. That, you know, if they're not being approached and hounded and fear mongered. So that's kind of the approach that I take in pretty much all of my activities. I'm very upfront about who I am and what my background is and what my stated intentions are, so that there's no suspicions about me, and I don't have thesis knocking at my door or any of these sorts of things. I'm very much upfront. Once I decided that I was going to get involved with this, I thought it was best for my own protection to be as open and as public as I can be, rather than you know, hiding behind nicknames and things like that on web forums and whatever. And I'm very public in my blogging, you know, about what my philosophies are and so on and so forth. So that has given me protection against things like COINTELPRO or you know, similar things to that, that my activism can't be provocateured. And the group that I'm involved with are very much in agreement with the way that I approach it. So we take a very friendly approach, and there's nothing there that people can use against us, and we can't be provocateured.
Well, I think that's an important point for my listeners to take to heart, is that when we're open about this information and we don't act as if we have something to hide and just present ourselves and present our argument in a calm, rational way, there really isn't 007 James Bond-style things going on here, which is, I think, the impression that a lot of people have before they get into this type of activism, is that they're really putting something out on the line if they go public with their questions about something like 9/11. But if we just normalize it and make it part of the mainstream discourse, then there really is nothing to be afraid of, and people shouldn't have to hide behind internet anonymous monikers and that type of thing. This is just a debate that we need to have as a society, and there's nothing at all James Bondish about it. So it is positive to see someone like yourself, when there are so many divisive and negative and anonymous commentators on the subject on the internet, it's good to see someone with a positive outtake on this who's just going out there and getting the information out in a positive way. So, Wayne Prante, I salute you and the work that you're doing, and I would love to hear more about your work in the future, so I hope you'll come back to join us again on the Corbett Report.
Well, James, it's been my pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity. Just as a closing remark, I would just like to invite those of you know, I'm sure you have a very intelligent and informed audience out there, and you know, we all have our own issues that we think maybe should take a priority, and those things have tended to cause a lot of arguments within groups and so on, and I see this happening regularly, and it doesn't need to be the case. You know, you don't even have to have a group. You as an individual can go out and do things on your own, just with a couple of simple signs, some burning some DVDs, coming up with a few simple flyers, and just going out on the street and being a presence and letting people come to you for information. And it doesn't have to be about 9/11. It could be about constitutional issues, such as the things we see going on in the States with Ron Paul. It could be about vaccines. It could be about depleted uranium. It could be about the phony money system, any number of things. So pick your issue is all I'm saying, and work with that, and try not to overload people with too much information. They generally won't buy it if you try to overload. So you know, be friendly, take a friendly approach, and you know what, people do we do encounter some resistance occasionally, but generally it's very, very minimal. And when people try to argue with me, I just say, you know, isn't it wonderful that we live in a free country where you can have your opinion and I can have mine? And rather than getting into a heated argument with anybody, they just go away and I carry on. And that's the approach that I encourage people to do. And just remember, you don't have to wait for others. You can go and do this on your own. You only need, or maybe just one or two other people. And the response that we get is that it's very positive. So take action, but, you know, think about how you do it, and don't wait around, you know, for groups or anything else. You can do it on your own. And do what you think is best.
Absolutely. The most important thing people can do is just get on the battlefield and get in the game. So, again, I encourage people to take that message to heart. Just in closing, Wayne Pronte, fire out the websites one more time for people who are interested in you and your work.
Absolutely. I'm with my main group is Fraser Valley 911 Truth, and you can reach us at FV, as in Fraser Valley, FV911truth.org. I also manage a site, 911truthcanada.ca. So if you don't have a group of your own and don't have the ability to put up a website and so on, you can just refer them to that site. And it's just kind of a generic site for all of Canada. And I'm also involved with, as I say, the Coalition of the Willing. Our website is warcriminalsout.com.
All right, excellent. Well, once again, Wayne Pronte, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
Thank you for having me.